I got this outline together probably 3 weeks ago. Then it, for some reason, I didn't get it preached then, and then Easter came, and so I just saved it. And then Tom told me, he said about this morning, he said, "Hey, I want to have a testimony." I was about, I was thinking about it when you were talking about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, fiery furnace. And I said, "Well," I looked through my notes on this, and I had a comment, just a mention of them again tonight. I said, for some way it worked out. Like I say, the outline's been kind of stretched out. I'm already in another notebook, and I saved this one in an old one. But anyway, let me get my specs out. God's got a reason for everything, and it's just the way it goes. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." The title of the message is "The Believer's Expectation." A few weeks ago, I was speaking about, the end times, how things appear according to what the Word of God says and according to what the news is telling us, or what we see in the world today, looking at the signs of the times, globalism, with the one world government, one world currency, all the things leading up to what will happen or take place during the tribulation period, that there's not going to be a lot of time, only 7 years, so everything's going to be ready to fall into place. And so, and what I want to talk about tonight, and what this message is about, in light of those things, that, in the light of the fact of the closeness that we believe we are to the Lord coming back, as seen by what the Bible says and what we see in reality today, how, we're going to look at Christian conduct. What should our Christian conduct be in the light of what we see going on in the world today and the times in which we, we live, and what we can expect as we draw closer to what we believe to be the rapture of the church and, move into the tribulation period. So the first point that we have, we see in our text tonight, there's a darkness to endure. A darkness to endure. Verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." So the Bible tells us that we can expect fiery trials. That means intensity of trials that we're going to face in the form of persecution, opposition. Look at the world that we live in today. We're in the cancel culture age. If we don't agree with everything that the general population agrees with, then we're labeled. We got tags on us. They cancel you out. They don't want you to. They don't want you to have an opinion. Everybody's allowed to have an opinion as long as it doesn't disagree with their opinion. That's the society that we live in today. And so the Bible tells us, God's telling us here, don't think that's strange. This way it's going to be. Don't get uptight about it. It's just the way it's going to be. It's the Bible's telling us that. John 15:18 tells us the world hated Jesus, and that's the reason that the world hates us. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Verse 13 and 14 of that same 2 Timothy chapter 3. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been accused of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Tells us to continue on in doing right, doing what the Bible says. So it's not, you know, evil waxing worse and worse. That's what we see expected. We're living, this is our time, as I've said all along. We have a darkness to endure because this is our time. Today, over 200 million Christians in at least 60 countries are denied fundamental human rights solely because of their faith. 200 million in 60 different countries. Estimated, and this is back some years back, approximately 176,000 Christians were martyred from mid-2008 to mid-2009. 176,000. 80% of all religious persecution in the world are aimed at Christians. That, you know, one religion. So we see a spiritual climate change that we live in today. You know, we used to be, when I was probably born, I mean, I would say, we were called a Christian nation. This was a Christian nation. We're not a Christian nation any longer. We're not. Not when we pass laws that are contrary to the Word of God. I mean, we pass laws that are flat out against what God says, and there's a lot of them. And, there's a lot of Christians in our country. There are, but we're not a Christian nation. No. You know, we can't be like what we see. We've always been, listen, Christians have always been in the minority, I think. And maybe there was a point we weren't, but maybe not. But the indifferent crowd was bigger than it is now. See, the indifferent crowd is getting smaller. Everybody's, and I said this 20 years ago, preaching on the other side. Stood right out, went out there on the floor in front of the pulpit and said, there's a line going to be drawn in the sand. And you're going to have to be on one side or the other. And that's good. You know, it's not a bad thing. Don't look at that as a negative thing. It's good. You know we're going to get on one side or the other. Get on that, you know, one side of that line there. But now we see the opposing crowd is bigger than that before. You know, it wasn't bad with the indifferent crowd. They didn't give us any static. You know, we go on with our own thing. They didn't care one way or the other. There's still some of those out there, but now we've got opposition, buddy. There's people, they're not indifferent. They're flat out, you know, and opposed to Christianity. Well, guess what? That's what the Bible says. Don't get your shorts all in a knot about it. Huh? Don't get all uptight and worked up. It's not going to get better. It's not all of a sudden, oh, look, we all just turned into a bunch of Christians, man, and everything. It ain't happening, not according to the Word of God. It's not happening, so don't get worked up about that. There's visible, outward opposition. The truth today is called hate speech. What I could say and some of what I'll have to say, I would have to say it. I know I can say it nicer, a nice way. It would still be called hate speech. They wouldn't hate as hard as what I could say. But right, it's still going to be called hate speech. The woke culture is, once again, if you don't agree with the culture, you're just labeled a hater. I don't care if you try to do it in love. They say, look, man, I'm just telling you to love. I just want to disagree. You know, we want to disagree. Let's just disagree. We don't have to be, but they get vehement if you don't agree with exactly what they agree. And don't be excited. That's what he's telling us. This is the way it's going to be. I was watching, you know, Ben Shapiro, if you ever seen little videos on him on Facebook, he tears them up, man. And he does it civil. He doesn't call them names, do anything. He just gives them facts. I was watching a little clip. Some of y'all might have seen it. It was one of them talk shows where they got the host people up there, you know, on the platform sitting, three or four people. And And one guy's trying to be neutral. He's kind of a moderating guy, and he did pretty good with it. You could see he was kind of leaning towards the other side. Ben was probably the only guy that was a Christian. I'm going to tell it like it was. And then they had Caitlyn Jenner was up there. Shoulders. I wish I had shoulders like she has. but get up, you know, and he's sitting up there. And this other woman that was just uptight with Ben, she was getting angry because he didn't agree. And he would not call Caitlyn Jenner Caitlyn. He called him Bruce. And he wouldn't refer to him as a her. And boy, she just got so mad about it. And he said, listen, every chromosome in that man is male. And Bruce Jenner put his hand on Ben Shapiro's not a big guy, on his shoulder and said, if you don't quit talking like that, you're going to go home in an ambulance. Who's hating now? Who's a hater now? Huh? Who's a hater now? I mean, you see how it is? It's one way, and we know it. Our flesh wants to get so mad about it, and you feel like just... It'd be terrible to get beat up by a woman. That's probably what would happen. But, or a woman-looking woman, you know, manly. It wouldn't be a woman. It wouldn't be a woman, trust me. But that's the... And so... They called him a hater because he pointed this out. It's the truth. It's the truth. I saw another thing. I saw one, and it was a guy talking. You might have saw this one too. It was a guy talking to, and he was talking real civil. It was kind of a little group setting, and somebody was standing up, and this guy was talking. I don't even know who that guy was. And it was a transgender man that was talking about, and he was an EMT. And, you know, he said, well, he asked... this other fella asked this transgender, how do you define a woman? And he said, well, it's a, huh?
His name's Matt Walsh.
He said, well, it's a complicated thing. So the guy had a real simple, it was a great thing. He said, okay, look, you're an EMT. If a transgender man calls you to the house and says that he's suffering from a miscarriage, are you going to treat him? This guy was stumped. He knew he wasn't. It's impossible for a man to have a miscarriage. He didn't know what to say. You know, he just stuck him. I mean, but see, the guy used wisdom. He used logic along with the Word of God, but he used logic. He wasn't being a smart aleck. He just asked him that simple question to get the guy to think. You know, that's the way you can do it. You know, that's what you do. But people would still call you a hater. That crowd was kind of leaning the other way to the right. Probably a little more than some of them, but you know, this is the world that we live in today. You and I know it. Our flesh wants to get so angry about it, and there's nothing wrong with having righteous anger, but how you respond. Listen, smart aleck comments, hate speech, name calling, it's not gonna help them. I don't know that with a lot of them, love is gonna help them either, but it's the only hope we got. You know, that's the way you gotta deal with it. And now the Bible's telling us, okay, look, how should you act? What are you expecting? You know, we got a darkness to endure. We're going to live through this darkness till the Lord comes and takes us on home. That's just the way it is. There'll still be people out there that need to get saved. There'll be people that get saved. I think some of them people, they'll get saved. They'll see the light. You know, if you give them logical things, make them think about it for a minute. They got to think. Somebody is going to be a thinker and say, you know what? He's right. The majority? No, but somebody. You know, we'll do that. And so today, if we're going to preach the gospel and we're going to be called a bigot, we're going to be called a bigot. Shoot, there's churches that are supposed to be preaching the gospel. If you preach what's actually in the Bible right here, there's churches that say that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a bigot. Looked like he had something against women, you know, when he's just preaching, you know, what God said, what the Bible says. And so, you know, if you oppose homosexuality, you're going to be a homophobic. It's okay. I don't mind being a homophobic, depending on the definition of it, how you want to define it. You know, there's a name and label that, you know, for everything, they're going to call you something. So what? So what? You're just going to have to stand on the truth. You just think suddenly they're going to agree with everything that we have to say. And God tells us in Romans chapter 1, you know, that he tells us that those things that the world has changed the truth, into a lie. It's not really, and what that means is it's not really turned into a lie. It's just the way they view it. It's not really, the truth's always going to be the truth. It's not a lie, but it's the way they view it. And that ungodly and unrighteousness, or the ungodly and unrighteous hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's what it says. That's how things, and that's the age that we live in today. So don't expect anything different from that. Still people out there, they can get saved from that. Peter tells us in verse 12, don't be surprised how the world will view and respond to us. I saw Tony Dungy. A lot of you know Tony Dungy was a football player, played for the Steelers way back in the 70s, coached Tampa Bay, coached Indianapolis Colts, went to Super Bowl. He's a Christian man, good Christian man. You know, he's an ESPN analyst for the football games, does a good job. But in his private life, he went to the pro-life rally, the national pro-life rally in Washington, D.C. I think he spoke there. People got all uptight about it. They were so mad about it. There was a radio announcer calling for him. They said ESPN should fire him for holding that view. Listen, ESPN's about sports. He was talking about football. What's that got to do with how he feels about pro-life thing? But people wanted to have him fired because he doesn't agree with them in that area right there. See? You know, and if we called for somebody that held an opposite view to be fired, oh my gosh, they'd have a cow about it. But we understand it. Just understand it. This is the way it's gonna be. That's just the way. Don't be surprised. Think it not strange, it said in verse 12. He said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. It tries my patience dearly, trust me. Huh? Because I just like to tell it like it is. I don't want to have to beat around the bush and pussyfoot around with this and that. I don't want to say. But, you know, this is just the way it is. Christian professors, this has been going on for quite a long time in the United States. They give professors, after so many years, they give them tenure, which is pretty much saying like they got a guaranteed job. Huh? Yeah, they can't get fired. Well, they don't give them to Christians. They find Christians in the major universities will not get tenured, no matter how good of a teacher they are in the major universities today. I saw was that guy that was on the Wonder Years as the school teacher. What's his name? You know who I'm talking about? He used to do the Visine commercial. You suffer from dry. Well, he's the one, he did a little study on this, and I don't even know that he's a Christian, but he was pointing the prejudice out against the Christians, against the universities, against Christians, you know. He was pointing that out about it. I saw a big expose he had on it, and he did interviews with people about it, and why didn't they get tenure and this and that. Pro-family Christian ministries are classified nationally on record as being hate groups. Christian ministries in this country are on records as being hate groups because of the values that they stand. They're not isolated incidences, it's everywhere. So, you know, we understand these are the times that we live in. Don't think it's strange. It would be strange if it wasn't this way. So, you know, it's hard to believe, I know, for those of us that got age on us that were around in a different time in our country. It's hard for us to understand it, to really get a grasp on it, because you know how quickly we see time goes by anyway, and it seems like only yesterday that it wasn't like this, because it was only yesterday that it wasn't like this. That's how it seems. So Peter says, don't be surprised. If you live like Jesus and you preach his gospel, witness, take a stand against immorality, don't participate with the world or don't agree with the world, you will suffer persecution. And you should. Listen, man, if you're friendly with the world and the world's friendly with you, something's wrong. It's just something wrong with your walk and testimony. Listen, I already know, man. There's people that already look at you sideways if they know in my shoes, in my case, because I'm a pastor somewhere, man. It's you know, It's they avoid you like the plague, man. They don't want to be too, they don't want to get too close. It's like parting of the Red Sea. You know, makes you feel kind of lonely sometimes, but that's just the way it's going to be if we live the way we should right there. But see, light always exposes darkness, and darkness hates it. The darkness just hates that, for it to be exposed like that. But God has a purpose for this. It's a good purpose. Number one thing is that this, what we're going through is refining the believers. We're being refined. Huh? Listen, you got to stay close to the Lord. This, the bigger purpose, I'm probably ahead of myself. This proves your faith. How do you think God's going to separate the wheat and tares? Huh? He's going to get the fakes out. He's going to get them out. See, and it's just going to be by what's going on in the world today. God uses what's going on to transform us into him, like him. That's how he does it. You know what we have to go, because fire, like the fire in the furnace, the gold is purified in the fire. And the Christians are going to be more purified. We become more strong because we're going to have to lean on him. We're going to have to depend on him. We're going to have to be empowered by him. We're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God to live in the world every single day. And the Bible tells us that Jesus suffered in his day and that we must suffer to be like Christ. And what happens is the suffering purges us of the world that's out there. Listen, aren't you just getting sicker and sicker? I wish I could really holler and scream like I want to, but I can't. Don't you wish that don't you get sicker and sicker of what's going on in the world? And I'm going to tell you, if you get sick enough of it, you won't have nothing to do with it. Huh? Was when it's not like that, you know what? We got a tendency to flirt with it just a little bit too much. Huh? We got a tendency just to be mingled up in the world and live just as close to the world. I never couldn't figure out why Lot, how in the world, it show you how the world can creep in and get, how in the world, we stand from afar and look at Lot living in Sodom and Gomorrah and you're thinking, good night, I'd have moved out of town just as fast as I could. But when it's like that old frog in the water, when you just turn it up real slow, he'll sit in there and we see it and see it. Boy, but if you got dropped off in the middle of that place, I'd have got out of Dodge. Man, I'd have got out of there in a hurry. You know, couldn't live in that mess. So if it gets bad enough, the bad are going to wax worse and worse if they don't get saved, and it's going to force the Christians to huddle up and get with the Lord and get in your Bible and get in prayer and be in prayer about it. And it's going to, and it's going to help us in that way right there. And then, like I said, another thing is it's going to expose the fakes. You're not going to be able to fake it. Huh? When they start lopping off heads, ain't nobody that's not saved, and nobody that doesn't have the Holy Ghost of God, they're not going to let out loud. They're not going to go. Them people that were martyred, nobody allowed herself to get burned to death for a lie. Nobody got burned to death if it wasn't Jesus, wasn't a reality in their life. They'd have denied the Lord so fast to save their own skin. But what did I say this morning? Because self looks out for self. Huh? So what happens is you're going to have to be the real thing. Huh? And the cream's going to rise to the crop. And the church may get smaller appearing, but it's going to be pure. Huh? The church may get thin, but it's going to be pure. Because what's going to take place, God's got multi-purposes going on. He's a multitasker, man. I can barely do one thing at a time. But God's doing a lot of things, and it's all going to get sorted out, man, and we're going to know. And so that'll separate the tares and the wheat right there. We'll be able to see the difference because the fakes will not be able to endure what's coming for the church. So we got a darkness to endure. The second thing is we have a delight to experience. A delight to experience. Look what it says in verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now listen, God's not telling you right here, and obviously we're not going to enjoy suffering. I wouldn't enjoy being burned at a stake, having my head cut off. Probably rather have my head cut off than being burned at a stake. But Nobody, he's not saying, listen, we're not going to enjoy the suffering, but we can rejoice that we can suffer for Christ's sake. The fact that we're counted worthy, we're not going to enjoy the suffering, but we're counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. I mean, man, listen, if you get persecuted, it means somebody recognizes that something's different about you than the world. Huh? I mean, hey, listen, they're not persecuting people like them. They're persecuting somebody else. Listen, suffering for Christ is a blessing, not a curse. Philippians 1:29 says, that tells us that suffering is a gift. It's a gift. Two reasons why we can rejoice. Future glory, verse 13 that I just read. And it says, rejoice in as much as we are partaker of Christ's sufferings. Look here. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. We got, you know, the cross leads to a crown. Jesus had to go to the cross to get the crown, that glory that we're talking about right there. It always leads to a crown. We have a present blessing and a future glory. In 1 Peter chapter 1, which we probably went over this in Sunday school class, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking, like I said, I had this outline 3 weeks ago probably written, and I just kept it and didn't get it preached for one reason or another. And then right after the morning message this morning, I got this message to come tonight. What I said, Peter wrote this. Peter, the one that denied the Lord because of the flesh, he didn't want to suffer the persecution. He didn't want to go through all that. Now he knows what he's talking about. He never could have wrote it if he didn't go through what he went through when he denied the Lord 3 times, and the Lord had to bring him back to that spot on the beach when he looked at those coals on the fire. He brought him back to that time, you know, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yeah. You know, he denied him 3 times. He brought him back to that very spot. He'd have never been able to write this if he hadn't. He knows what he's talking about. He's talking about that glory. Romans 8:18, for I reckon, there's that word reckon again, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory which shall be revealed in us. The sufferings are not even, Paul said, we're not even compared. There's no comparison. The distance between the two is so different. The second reason we can rejoice is his presence. Verse 14, if ye be reproached, in 1 Peter chapter 4, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Why? For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Resteth, the Spirit of God and his glory resteth upon you. Them three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. There it is, Tom, right there again. Huh? Boy, there they were in the fiery furnace. Fire wouldn't burn. Mentioned that this morning. Didn't burn nothing but the ropes off. And what did they do? They were walking around. It wasn't like they were sitting down. They were just walking around. The Lord was in there with them. I don't believe they were crying. I don't believe they were moaning and groaning. I don't believe they were complaining about them old wicked people that threw them in the fiery furnace. I believe they were just laughing, smiling. If there was any crying going on, it was tears of joy because of what God was doing in the midst. Man, listen, when you go through a trial, a fiery trial, you never feel any closer to God than when you go through things in life that you may have to go through. Boy, that's when you really feel him walking with you right there, and that's a blessing right there. It's a blessing to feel that. Listen, Stephen, when he was stoned, he had a smile on his face, looking to heaven. He saw the Lord standing at the right hand of God. He didn't see it before that. He saw it during his stoning. I mean, when he was going through a trial, man, the Lord and Jesus was standing. That really gets me, huh? That Jesus, you know, was sitting at the right hand of the Father, and one of his children is getting ready to be martyred, stoned to death, and Jesus stood.
He stood up and he looked. He was watching. It was important enough for him to stand and see that. Man,
we're never alone. We're never alone. We don't always feel him, but we're never alone. During our trials, his presence is intensified. It's intensified. Man, so God, that discrepancy between the bad and the good, evil and righteousness is getting so defined and bigger. And yet, it's forcing us to be on our knees and be in God's word and be in prayer about being filled with the Spirit and praying for strength. It's causing us, it's forcing us, to be into the presence of Christ even more and more and more. So we can rejoice in that. And then the third thing, there's a dependence we must express. In verse 19, we see, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as much as unto a faithful creator. You know, right in between there, you talked about, yet if any man, verse 16, suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. And he talks, and in verse 15, he said, but let none of you suffer as a murderer. So he's not talking about suffering you bring on yourself from being a knucklehead or whatever you do. Listen, we can bring a lot of suffering on ourselves. Disobedience to God may bring some things. Sinning, that would wrap up everything, really. That would cover it all. But he's talking about suffering in the will of God. And verse 19, wherefore let them suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him. That means entrust. It's a banking term. A term, it means deposit for safekeeping. Our souls, you know, we just put them in the Lord's hands. It's Jesus on the cross used the same word, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Pretty much the same word there. Give his spirit into the hands of God the Father. Trust. So there, the line is drawn in the sand. It's already drawn in the sand, and we're fast approaching where no one's going to be able to straddle the sign. They're going to push you. They're going to force you. Even it'll be more force from the other side than from the Christian. It's going to be more force from them. They're going to want to find out where you stand. What side of the line are you on? And they're going to push. You try to compromise. Many people have tried over the years. They try to compromise and, you know, waffle around a little bit on it and not get too beat around the bush. Say a whole lot of things and it doesn't ever amount to, you can't never figure it out. Sound like politician. But you're gonna have to decide. You're gonna have to choose. You know, you're gonna have to get one way or the other. It won't be no middle ground. It's no big middle ground. It's just this or that. So we're really, I say fast approaching. We're probably just about at that time right now. You about have to be there right now. One side or the other. Pressure is gonna be so severe. The fakes won't be able to keep pretending any longer that they're Christians. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the strength to do it, so they're going to have to go with the flow, the main line. They will not be able to keep playing Christian. Listen, it's not a game. This ain't a club. This is warfare, and we're seeing it. We've been preaching that for years, that it's warfare. Nobody believed it, and you're getting ready to find out about it now. It's you better have your armor on, your sword drawn. It's war. And so you're not going to be able to play Christian any longer because of the opposition won't let you. If they just, it is going to get to the point, it doesn't matter whether you're witnessing or to anybody or whether you're spreading the gospel. They just see you going to church, see a Bible somewhere around your house, see a cross on your neck, see a cross somewhere, even if you keep your mouth shut. It's going to be, the pressure is going to be on you somehow. So you're not going to be able to play church, play Christian any longer. You'll never make it without truly being in Christ. Huh? That's the deal. And so if it's a battle for you, you know, you have to, you know, get this matter settled. You have to truly be saved. You know, really, you have to have the Holy Spirit. But then we as Christians, what it's telling us, listen, don't think it's just, don't be surprised. Huh? And you can rejoice. We can have confidence. We have confidence. Why should we worry? Why should we worry about it? Still trying to get people saved. Still people need to be saved. And I'm not telling you, listen, that we can't vote the right way. We can't call our senators and congressmen. You can do that. You can say, hey, listen, I'm against it, man. Let your voice be heard. I'm not saying not do that. I have a friend that doesn't think he ought to do that. He's a Christian and all, but he doesn't want to vote and this and that because he thinks everything's going. But I think that, you know, we can be involved in that. We can do the right things. Just don't get uptight, because it's going like the Bible says. Listen, if we're claiming to be standing on the rock, we need to live like it. You know, that's what we need to do. And listen, as the heat gets turned up, there's people going to fall away. There's a lot of people going to fall away because Jesus Christ is not a reality in their lives. The Bible talks about a house being built upon a rock, one house being built upon a sand. And it said with a house, well, in both cases, the winds blew and the rains came and the waves beat upon that house. I'm going to tell you right now that the wind is picking up. The rain is starting to fall. The waves are starting to crash on that house right there. And I'm going to tell you what, if your house is built on a sand, this house is built on sand, you're not going to stand. You just won't be able to do it. It's starting right there. So we're going to find out whose house is built upon the rock and whose is built upon the sand. It all begins with trusting Jesus as your Savior. That's the key to it all. And listen, I'm telling you, man, there's so many people that have lied to themselves. Like I said this morning, they've let their heart deceive them. They think they're saved and they're not. There's people out in the world right now. They're right here in this county. I know people. You know them too. They'll just go up and down about how I know I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. And Jesus is in my heart. They have nothing to do with the house of God. They have nothing to do with the Word of God. They have nothing to do with praying to God unless it's some kind of a crisis or emergency going on. But they have no relationship with God. They have lied and deceived themselves into thinking that they're saved and they're not. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what, wait till the wind blows and the waves crash and the rain starts coming. We're going to find out them lives are going to go down. So, listen, I don't know who, you know, here and maybe somebody on Facebook watching or will watch. I'm just saying, listen, you better know without a shadow of a doubt that you have Jesus in your heart, because God's going to sort it out and he's going to use the wickedness in the world to figure it out, to find out. It all begins as trusting Jesus as your Savior, and that begins with your heart, you know, giving your heart and your soul to him. If you're out in darkness, come into the light. Confess you're a sinner, and Jesus, because Jesus is the only way. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Time is getting shorter every day, every single day. There's going to be a day You won't be able to. There'll be a day you won't be able to get saved. There'll be a day when somebody stops, when God stops dealing with people as individuals, and I don't know when that day is. But time's getting shorter, and the Lord's going to come back. If you don't get saved in this time, it'll be so hard to get saved in the tribulation period. So I wouldn't delay with that if I wasn't sure about my salvation. Let's pray. Paul, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Lord, help us, just help us understand the days that we live in. You chose us to be alive at this time, Lord, and we know that you give us the power, Lord, to endure the things that we'll have to face, Lord. And so we pray for strength there, a filling of your Spirit, help give us understanding and wisdom as we deal with the world. Lord, we think about those that are lost in the world. Lord, we know some people still going to be saved. I believe that, Lord. So help us to be vessels used by you to lead people to yourself. Lord, help give us wisdom as we deal with the worldly philosophy that's out there that's in, it's ingrained in people's minds. They've grown up in it. Lord, help give us wisdom as we deal with them, using your word and common sense things, Lord, to show them, Lord, and at least cause them to think, plant seeds, Lord, whatever you want us to do. Lord, and I pray for all of us to examine our lives, our hearts. Lord, see where we are with you. Lord, help us not to get frustrated about it, Lord. Help us to rejoice in the times that we're in. Lord, that we can see you clearly, Lord, and be drawn closer to you. Lord, help us understand that. Lord, we still have joy. That joy is not going anywhere as long as you're in our heart. And so we thank you for that. Thank you for loving us. And thank you that we can trust you and we need to. Lord, I ask it all now during our invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.